Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to all of our Tenpenny Files premium podcast members who are listening to this special deep dive podcast. So during our deep dive interviews, we have a personal conversation with our guests about what inspires them and to find out a little bit more about who they really are. With that, let me introduce to you today's special deep dive guest, J.D. Rucker. And for those who missed the interview of this week with Dr. T, or are a podcast member listening in the future, you can go to drtenpenny.com, hover over the podcast area, and re-listen to that because it's really, really a good discussion. And if you missed it, you really need to listen to it. And if you listen to it, I'd suggest listening to it again. It was really very good. So J.D. Rucker is the editor of Liberty Daily and Discern Report. He is an entrepreneur in the world of prep. He is the founder of Prepper Beef, which is prepperbeef.com, a long-term storage freeze-dried beef company. You may recognize JD for his bold, outspoken articles and podcasts that feature the biggest names in our circle of freedom advocates. JD has been fearless in his pursuit to expose the truth about politics, current events, and the Bible. As a faith-driven follower of Jesus Christ, he lives in California with his wife and four children. This has surely made his mission much more challenging and more important as he watched his beautiful state, and I agree, watching it just deteriorate into the more communist position every single day. We are proud of his standing on the front line of truth and welcome you back to the Deep Dive with Dr. T, JD. Thank you so much for hanging around with us for a few more minutes for our premium podcast members.
Absolutely. I'm blessed to be here.
Well, you know, you talk about your three main things, you know, about politics and about, you know, the worldview of Christ and also the day, you know, current events. If you were to take a 30,000 foot view and just, you know, pull back from all of that and go way up and do a 30,000 foot view and just collectively look across the globe, what would you think is the biggest problem in the world today?
Oh, definitely abandoning biblical understanding. It's not just about spreading the word. We have to do it from both directions. It's not just about, hey, you know, getting and going out and spreading the word to the nations. It's also about trying to counter the false words that are out there. One of the biggest threats that we face right now isn't just coming from atheists or Muslims or Hindus or whoever. It's coming from within the quote-unquote church. There are so many bad doctrines being pushed, so many bad ideologies, so many lukewarm, milquetoast, just horrible, horrible teachings that are being done today in the name of Christ. And we have to combat those because that's going to take people and lead them astray. So if, you know, when we look, God willing, we're there when we can look and see the world when it's in a better place. Biblically speaking. And if that were to be the case, I think that the world would look like a world where we are embracing our Creator. We are doing what's right for our fellow man. We are doing what we're supposed to be doing as believers. But we're not anywhere close to that, and we're going backwards today. We're losing people. We're losing kids. We're losing adults. They're abandoning the faith and preventing other people from embracing it at all. Yeah, I always say when we look at, for example, like just the whole why are they pushing the transgender ideology onto children? I always say it's obvious. Okay, if you can take a child who is completely impressionable, an 8-year-old, and you can say, hey, I know that you're a girl, but you kind of seem confused. We think you're a boy. Okay, and you start to try to introduce a biblical worldview into that child. You try to teach them and you talk to them about God. What is their reaction going to be? They're like, well, if I'm a girl, but I'm actually a boy, then that means that one of two things happened. Either God made a mistake and put me in a girl's body, even though I'm actually a boy, or God doesn't exist at all. When you see these children who embrace this transgender ideology, the any part of the LGBTQIA plus whatever, the 57 Heinz varieties of gender, you know, that child is going to be so much more difficult to bring into the faith, to get them to read their Bible, to get them to embrace their Creator. So when I look at this, there it looks to me as if they're building an army today and an army of the future of not just people that are against the Bible, people that are militantly against the Bible, people who view the biblical worldview as evil, people who think that people such as you and I are domestic terrorists, we are evildoers, we are whatever, not realizing that they're simply becoming demonic, they're simply becoming minions of Satan. And that to me is the biggest fight, the most important fight that we must face here in 2024 and beyond.
I want to read this because I thought it was both funny, telling, informative, and helpful that somebody sent me this. It was a screenshot that they took. It was yesterday. It said, a friend of theirs has just had their 15-year-old child come out as trans. Her immediate reaction was to tell her son that she no longer identifies as his mother because the child she had, she contributed half of her DNA to, was born as a male, and he was actually named in honor of her deceased grandfather. And she's not going to have any other daughters, and so she offered to call CPS to find him foster care placement because she no longer identified as having him as a child. He immediately backed away from his position of trying to be a trans person. And I've seen some other things that were similar, that the parents just took control of the situation by saying, you know, different things. Mm-hmm. That these young kids are getting so perversely manipulated at school and teachers and, you know, different programs that they have them in. You know, they're not teaching them how to read, write, and spell and do math. They're teaching them that, you know, gender is a choice, and they're teaching them from that. And so I read that because I had to chuckle that, okay, great, you're not my son and I'm not your mother, is basically the response of what that was. And that the person, you know, that son was like, well, wait a minute, I need to like change it. So I think that there are, you know, even secular ways that we can deal with those sorts of questions that people may not think about. That's why I kind of wanted to intercede that there, because it's great to be able to get them to understand about God and spirituality. But, you know, it reminds me of kind of the Old Testament, when the Israelites would intermarry with the Canaanites and the Hittites and all these different people, and then they would get drawn away to worshiping Baal and Moloch and all of the gods of the ancient day. You know, it's constantly there. It's constantly being exposed to us. And it's like, let me see, I've got this God, this mythical thing that maybe is listening to my prayers, and I've got this other thing that I can actually do something with. And I think that there's a big distinguishing difference there that we've lost the being able to tell people what the difference is. I think that's really important.
No, it absolutely is. And you mentioned they're getting manipulated. I think a lot of people saying they're getting indoctrinated, but you use the proper word. They're getting programmed. They're getting programmed. This is one of the biggest reasons why I'm a humongous fan of homeschooling, because if you send the kids to school, they're going to get programmed. Now, you might be able to equip them with ways to fight the programming. You may be able to counter, as the mother that you had described, you may be able to counter that programming, but you might not be able to, because it is very powerful. Let's look at it from a very basic perspective. If you are I hate using the word regular, but let's just use the word regular. If you're a regular kid, you're a boy who thinks you're a boy, who likes girls, who wants to play sports and you know, do what boys have always done in America for a long time, then you actually have less, in today's public school system, you have less than the boy who pretends to be a girl, who thinks that he likes boys because, even though he is a boy, and who this, that, or the other, okay? That person has more. That person can go into the boys' locker room, or could go into the girls' locker room, depending upon what he feels at that particular moment. Go into the boys' bathroom, girls' bathroom, doesn't matter. Ultimately, that person, this trans, gay, whatever person, is protected above and beyond anything else by the school, by the school board, by the teachers, by law enforcement, over this kid. Now, if this kid, the one that's got all these intersectionality things that he's professing, if this kid does something bad to this kid, he's going to get protected. If the normal kid does something bad to the trans kid, he's done. Okay, the normal kid is all of a sudden transphobic. He's going to be exercised from society. He might as well move. Okay, he might as well leave, just get out, because his life, at least in that particular, as he knew it, his life at that point is going to be over because all of a sudden he's going to get labeled. So
wow.
You're a child. Which direction are you going to go? The programming is all geared towards you. If you go trans, if you go LGBTQIA plus whatever, you're going to get better treatment. You're going to be better protected. If you decide that you want to be normal, you better watch yourself. You better walk on eggshells. You better not say the wrong thing to the wrong person. You better not be even accused, whether rightly or wrongly, falsely or not. You better make sure you better keep your blinders on, and you got to get through school and struggle. You got no protection. Not in America today. Trans kid, totally protected. They could do anything. They could do anything. So
that's heavy.
I don't think it's just manipulation.
It's so accurate. That's really a heavy concept. But you know what? When you peel back the onion, you're dead on right. Absolutely spot on. Sadly so. But you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I say homeschool kids. And, you know, we homeschooled our... I range all the way up to 30, all the way down to 6. So we
wow.
give them... Yeah, my wife just, she has kids every decade. So, they all got more and more combination of homeschool, private school, and now for the first time with our middle daughter, our youngest daughter, second youngest child, she's in a charter school, and I was terrified. I really was terrified. I thought, oh my gosh, this is just going to be public school light. But then we checked it out. We looked at it. And we talked to the teachers, and it's like, okay, so maybe, and it's only for high school. We homeschooled her all the way up through until we homeschooled her until she got smarter than us, which is eighth grade. So what does that say about her parents? But, but then we sent her to charter school, and so far it's been great. And she's, you know, I even asked her, I mean, do you have any transgender friends or anything like that? And she's like, yeah, you know, you want to meet him? I'm like, yeah, let's meet him. And I mean, it's, I don't want to get too personal, but I will. So I remember, like, there she brought a couple of her friends over, and they both are girls who go by male names. But if you look at them, I mean, they're long hair, okay, totally female, but they claim to be male. And just listening to them in my daughter's room, listening to the giggles, listening to all this stuff, I realized, you know, that they're not making a choice based upon some hormonal feeling or some confusion. They're making a choice because they feel protected, and they are protected in this school system. Now, again, this is at a charter school, but here's the thing, is that in this school, they're not protected as far as like what we see in public schools. They're still treated like, however, the parents want them to. So even though one of them is she goes by the male name with her friends, the school still addresses her the way that they told her parents, and her parents said, no, her name is blah, 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 and they honored that. And that right there, if you can't homeschool, then look for a school that will at least do that. Look for a school that's not going to sit there and try to program your kids. They're all going to indoctrinate. And if you're homeschooling, you're still going to try to indoctrinate your own kids, as you should. But that indoctrination is based on a worldview that hopefully if you have the right worldview, it's going to be a good thing. Indoctrination is only bad if you're indoctrinating them in the wrong direction. You know what church is? A good church is trying to indoctrinate you into a worldview. So we can't say, oh, all indoctrination is bad. It's just about taking the truth and putting it in front of people. So this school that we selected was acceptable. A lot of them aren't. Even many private schools are not. Many private schools are going as woke as public schools. So you can't just say, oh, it's okay. You know, do the research. Be a parent. Know who you're handing your kids off to every morning, and know what they're telling them throughout the day, and then find out what you need to fix if or not later on in the day. And sometimes you might find yourself, after they come home from school, you might find yourself actually learning some important lessons of your own. So parenting is such a blessing. I know it's hard for a lot of us, but it's also a good thing, in my humble opinion. So, wow, yes. that was a whirlwind of...
that was excellent. You know, you've investigated so many different things and you've had so many. I mean, how many years have you been doing your show now? Like
Six.
6 years. So you've
This
interviewed.
show. I've been doing shows since 2009, but this show has been around for 6 years, yes.
Okay, so you've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of guests, you know, on a variety of topics. You know, you try to keep them into your, you know, current events and public, you know, current events and politics and biblical things. If you could look back over that period of time that you've been this incredible interviewer, because I love your shows. I mean, the way that you interview people is just amazing. Were there any things that you learned from some of your guests that just went, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Like a big aha moment in your topics. And there may be lots and lots of them, but on the other hand, there's probably one or two that stick out the most.
There are, and it's funny because you didn't know this, you wouldn't have asked the question, but you're definitely one of them. I've interviewed you twice, and your interviews have been astounding because we're able to look what you do from a doctor who believes in the Bible perspective. You don't know how rare that is, and you don't understand. Maybe you do know, but there's not enough of that out there. To me, the ability to be a doctor and to portray the world in that direction while maintaining a biblical worldview, I think is the most important thing out there. More important from a profession perspective than even like say a politician who is a Christ follower or a policeman who or even a teacher who is a Bible believer. We've seen lots of those. If you can do it from a if you can handle the medical side, which is so important from a biblical perspective, that's incredible. Which is why the next one is Dr. Carrie Madej, who we've spoken about before. You know, her interviews with me have been just unstoppable. Okay, very, very well received, and she is fearless, and I would love to bring up Dr. Zev Zelenko, from a different perspective. Obviously, he was Jewish, but his perspectives, even on life itself, were just absolutely phenomenal. And I remember there was a time. This was right around. I interviewed him shortly before he died. And there was a time when we're doing the interview, and he's actually in his car, and he starts coughing because he was very sick. He starts coughing, like just ho the most horrible coughs for like 5 minutes,
Oh my.
and it just wouldn't stop. And he's like, okay, you know, I understand. I understand if you want to edit that out. It's like I'll only edit it out if you want me to. I would rather people understand what you're going through, because knowing that you're going through what you're going through and continuing to fight the way that you're fighting, I think that's an important message. So unless you say explicitly that you want me to edit it out, I'm keeping it in. And he's like, no, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. So we kept it in. The last one, in a negative, I'm going to throw somebody under the bus. Can I throw somebody under the bus? Because
Sure.
this is for the premium audience.
Yeah.
I've had like three bad interviews in my life. And one of them was somebody that I think most of your audience knows, and it wasn't bad because of anything other than that every question I asked turned into the wrong answer, or basically I was told how bad my question was, and that was James O'Keefe, who
Really?
with O'Keefe Media Group. And I'm gonna the reason I mention it is not for any I'm not again when I say throw him under the bus, I just think it's funny that. You say that I'm a good interviewer. He thought that I was the worst interviewer of all time
Oh
because I
my
would ask him
goodness.
questions like I would ask him, you know, are you trying to expose? He's like, we're not trying to expose people. We're not trying to catch people. And it's like, what are you doing? He's like, I just don't, I take no, you know, it's like you're saying that we're trying to catch them and corner them or target them. It's like, no, I mean, you literally just expose. Are you okay? I asked him, and are you okay? Is something going wrong? Because I didn't ask you a bad question. It was just the weirdest thing. And I don't get me wrong. So I want to be clear. He's done fantastic work for exposing stuff. I'm telling that story out of humility, you know, for me being a bad interviewer more so than for anything that he does, because what he does is amazing. But he probably doesn't like me because I asked him questions that he didn't like.
It's
So.
probably because you asked hard questions.
They were actually pretty hard questions, but they weren't bad. I wasn't trying to catch him, okay? He just didn't like the word expose. What do you mean expose? Sorry, man. You okay?
Because isn't that actually what you do? I've
It's
often
literally
wondered
what you
how
do.
they literally get away with some of the things they do, because they're under camera, you know, video recordings, catching people, you know, at a bar eating and drinking, and their defenses are way down. I mean,
right.
Isn't that kind of exposing people? That's amazing.
Quite
well, let me ask you
hey.
This for just a series of quick answered questions here, just a whole
okay.
bunch of things. Do you have a favorite musician or music that you like to listen to?
I am the weirdo that says no. I mean, Vivaldi is the closest to my favorite. I don't actually listen. And I know that you love music. I do too, but I don't have a favorite.
Okay.
So there's that.
And what do you like to do for fun?
My wife and I literally just had an argument about this last night. I used to love watching movies. I actually moved out to California for the sake of being in the movies, not as an actor, of course, but as a writer and possibly even a director at some point. And then I quickly realized that, hey, and this is before all this, the craziness, this was decades ago. It's like, hey, you know, it's kind of hard to get a Christ-centered conservative script sold here. Huh? Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? I didn't know at the time. So yeah, but now we still enjoy watching. Unfortunately, I don't get to watch very much of it anymore because there's just so much. And my wife and I, you know, she's like, we need to start watching something because you know, you can't work 25 hours a day. And I'm like, but I can. I can. Just get me more coffee. I'll be okay. She's like, well, I won't be. And she's right. And I have to take a step back and spend time with my wife. But we love to do things with our kids and eat.
Have you traveled much?
I used to travel at the minimum. I was on a plane 2 to 3 times per month, every month, for about 8 years. After my son was born in 2017, I stopped.
Do you have a favorite state or country or location that you really think that really stands out?
Yeah. So, yes. And this is going to be, I like New Orleans, not because of the politics, definitely not because of the weather, but the food. Oh my gosh. You can't not eat well there. And you have to have money, but if you got enough money I would love to visit New Orleans twice a year just to get the food, because I love it so much.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And that's, so you would say that's your favorite? So you're a big foodie?
Oh yeah, I eat all the time. If you couldn't tell, and the funny part is, so I've been on the ketogenic diet for the last really year and a half, and it wasn't until recently that I realized I was on the ketogenic diet for the sake of the ketones, because I need the ketones. I don't eat any sugars, and barely eat any carbs. Under 50 carbs a day, usually under 25 grams of carbs a day. But I do the ketogenic diet for the sake of the ketones, not for the weight loss. But recently, I've learned that I also need to lose weight as well. So I'm going to try to exercise on top of the ketones. I just wanted to the brain preserving stuff with the ketones, but as it turns out, that you can actually lose weight on it too. So I'm going to try that.
That's great. Since you don't have a favorite musician other than Vivaldi, maybe, that goes way back. Do you have a favorite author that you like to read, or a favorite book that comes to mind?
I'm sorry. I'm laughing once more, because these are easy questions for the vast majority of people that you would ever interview. For me, no. Because the stuff that, number one, it's been a long time. The last book I read, unfortunately, was Atlas Shrugged.
Oh,
which
wow.
And the only reason I read it, we went through a brief period, and when I say read, we do the audiobooks. I went through a brief period back in with my wife, to where we, instead of watching movies, we were reading classics. And by reading, we were listening to the audiobook version of 1984, Atlas Shrugged, and just a whole bunch of these. Let's see, some of the others. Of course, Brave New World. We're just going through and catching up to the things that I didn't pay attention to in high school. And we were enjoying that for a while. That was the last one, and that was over a decade ago. So unfortunately, no, I don't have any books. I don't read books anymore. I do not have the time. And it's not, I used to read books every day. Back when I was 19 and 20, even during the summer, I would read, 2, 3, 4 books a week. And
oh, wow.
Now I just stopped reading altogether.
Well, let me inspire you to get re-engaged with that.
I do have one book. My daughter got me one. This is the type of book that I'll be reading soon.
That's good. And for the audience, that says dad jokes. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
So, but I
so
know you
that's my
read,
next book.
I know you read your Bible. You talked about that you like to read your Bible. Is
Daily.
there a favorite verse that you have or a favorite area in the Bible that you spent concentrated time on?
So in the current day, with everything that's going on, I've been really doing a deep dive into Ezekiel 36, the entire chapter. From a verse perspective, I live my life based upon Ephesians 6:12, simply because that's where, when I look around, powers and principalities, that's who we're fighting. Okay, this is what Ephesians 6:12 talks about is
And
our
for,
day to day. Oh yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, for people that don't know, what is Ephesians 6:12? What is that? What is that
So
verse? Even if you
the
paraphrase it,
king.
it's fine.
No. This is an important question to answer, because if people just read it, if you just take the verse itself, talking about, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against, and skip ahead to the important part, powers and principalities. That is a sign, or that is an explanation of, again, what our world is today. The people that, if we look at, if we were just fighting, let's say, Dr. Fauci and Barack Obama and Mitch McConnell, okay, and Klaus Schwab, we could win. Freedom could win very easily over those people. The reason that we're not winning easily is because they, or the people that are above them, the quote unquote people above them, the powers and principalities of this world, are demonic, are controlled by, or even in line directly with, Satan. We cannot fight this based upon a worldview that it's just man versus man. We have to accept and acknowledge that we're fighting against those who are physically and intellectually superior to us. The only thing we have is that we have, thankfully, we have God on our side, and if God wills it, then we can defeat them. This is why, when you read through the book of Jude, I mean, even Michael, the most powerful of the archangels, would not rebuke Satan without using God, without using the Father to rebuke Satan, because Satan was too powerful even for Michael. And they when they were contending for the body of Moses. So we need to remember that and do the same, because if we think that we're just fighting men, then all we got to do is go protest. All we got to do is eat good food and spread the word and get people riled up about freedom. But if we understand that what we're actually facing is demonic, and what our actual adversaries are powers and principalities, evil in dark in high places, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, I get it now. I get it now. We got to fight a spiritual warfare. This isn't about getting out the vote, though that's important. This isn't about getting our kids out of public school and putting them in homeschool, though that's important. What this is really about is fighting stronger forces than you or me or any group of humans can fight on our own. When we know that, then we know, ah, okay, cool. So what's the answer? God. Prayer, fasting, repentance, and asking our Lord to do what's right, and as you noted earlier, trying to repent and prevent the wickedness that's in the hearts of men. Because we can't fight this by ourselves. We will lose. So, Ephesians 6:12
That's
is the
amazing.
answer. That's
That's
the short answer.
wonderful. That's really wonderful. So, thinking about God and about all the things that we've talked about today, both on This Week with Dr. T, and now that we're doing this for our premium podcast members, how do you want to be remembered when you pass on, JD? I mean, you're now focusing and redesigning your entire business to be, God-centered and Christian-viewed. How do you want to, at the end of the day, how do you want to be remembered as you pass on?
It's funny that you'd ask that question, because, again, not to throw curveballs, I would hope that I would be remembered as unnecessary. And let me explain. Unnecessary because, like you said, there's a company. I own a company that puts beef into people's cupboards for long-term storage. And I want to get that company to the point that if I were to pass away, that the company doesn't skip a beat. That I'm that there's no, oh, you know, JD died, so now the company's going to fall apart. I want to be unnecessary. I want to make sure that my family, you know, right now I support my family. My wife has been such a blessing to take care of the kids, to take care of the house, to take care of me. She's been able to do that. She hasn't had to have a job in many decades. I shouldn't a paid job, because I've tried. She had me do her job at home, and it's a lot harder than my job on the computer. I can assure you that. So I shouldn't say she hasn't had a job. She hasn't been paid.
She hasn't had a job outside the home. You can say it that
right,
way, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. She hasn't had a job outside of the home for decades. But I want to make sure that she's in a position, both with resources as well as with an understanding, that if I were to die, that she doesn't have to change things other than having, like, I don't want her to be in a bad position, financially or otherwise. When I look at my kids, you know, you see all these families out there, all these young men, young women, but especially young men. I shouldn't say especially, I guess it goes in both directions. But you see these kids that live in a fatherless family. And as a result of that, oftentimes by choice of the father, by the way, and you see them, they are much more inclined to go into crime, to get involved with drugs, or to not grow up biblically, or to not just grow up to be decent adults. I don't want that. I want, if I were to die tomorrow, I want my 6-year-old to be able to grow up and be a strong, godly man. So I'm trying to instill in him everything today. So when I say that I want to be remembered as unnecessary, it's because anything that I'm working on today to try to build up, whether it's through my websites, my Liberty Daily, it's funny because you mentioned that. That's my quote-unquote big site. I don't own it. I'm just the editor of it. But it has, you know, it gets 11 million visits a month. It's prominent. It does get a lot of attention. And so who did I hire to run it for me when I'm not able to run it? And who actually now runs it 5 days a week? Yes, I got my son to run it because he's the only one I can trust who I know from an ideological perspective. Now, not my 6-year-old, by the way. I got the older one. He's running it right now while we're on air. I want everything in my life that I build, that I work through, that God blesses me with, to be the steward of. I want it all to just be hunky-dory, maybe not exactly the same, but at least in good shape, so that if I die, it's like, oh, wow, you know, we always thought that JD was the reason Liberty Daily was doing so well, but he died, and now it's doing even better. I guess he was unnecessary. Oh, look, you know, JD's son is growing up, and he's becoming a great man, you know, even though JD died, I guess he was unnecessary. I have no, look, my place on this planet is for him. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't care if I don't want people to look back and say, oh, JD was a great man. I want people to look back and say, oh, remember that? You remember that guy who was talking about Ephesians 6:12? He told me that one time. I was listening to on Dr. T's show, and he had mentioned that we can't look at people. We can't look at our enemy, our adversary, as just flesh and blood, as just men. We have to understand that we're facing demons. We're facing Satan. We need God's help in this. And that really made an impact. I like that. That's how I would like to be remembered. Not as JD, the good man, great man, any man. They can forget me. As long as the things that I'm working on, including being a father and a husband, if those persevere, then mission accomplished. And if I'm doing what God wants me to do, definitely mission accomplished.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I think I've asked that question to a lot of people that I've interviewed. I don't think I've heard an answer quite as eloquent, as beautiful as that. That's really wonderful.
You humble me. Thank you.
So as we close out our time here together, JD, I could spend hours and hours just having conversations with you over, you know, prepperbeef.com. We could have prepper beef and, you know, a good glass of red wine and really have a wonderful conversation, I'm sure. What words would you like to, would you offer to our listeners today as we close out this morning?
Don't give up. So it's going to get hard. It's getting harder every day. There's going to be good. There's going to be bad. We're going to have some victories. We're going to have some losses. But never, ever give up on whatever it is that you're doing. And you might say, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting around, you know, listening to stuff. Okay, don't give up on that. Don't give up on spreading the word about that. Getting more people to listen to Dr. T. Getting more people to read their Bibles. Everybody has an influence of some sort. But here's the thing, is that in today's world, in 2024, it's easy. And I've faced these doldrums myself. It's easy to say, oh my gosh, this is so bad. There's nothing we can do. I guess I'm just gonna go dig a hole and hide away from the world. You know, that's not the answer. Now, for some of you, it might be. For some of you, it might be, you know what, I got to get my homestead in Montana, and I got to get completely off-grid, and I got to get my family protected. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Just don't give up on that either. Don't give up on any of this stuff. If you're doing something that you feel is righteous, is effective for yourself, for your family, for society, or any of the above, and especially if you're doing something that you feel God wants you to do, don't let the adversary have their way, because they want us to give up. They want us to say, oh, yeah, I guess we can't win. So whenever I tell people, oh, you know, the adversary is so big, I always have to finish that with, but thankfully we got God on our side. Nothing is too big for him. Nothing is too powerful for him. There's no odds that he can't overcome. If you think the odds of you being able to accomplish something are one in a million, if God wants that one out of the million to happen, it's going to happen, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. So stay prayerful. Stay faithful. And make sure that you never give up, because once you do, that's when the bad guys win.
Very well put. And that is the perseverance. Stay in the game, persevere until the very end. I think that's really that's something that people need to hear, and they need to do it without fear. You know, just stay in the game. You know, sometimes when things look scary, you need to feel the fear and do it anyways. You know, that's where the perseverance comes in. So, JD, I want to thank you so much for your really candid disclosure. I think that this is a level of things that people really need to hear about you, because you've got a really big audience. And I don't think that people ask you very often, how often, what do you do for fun? And you say nothing. That's interesting.
This is fun to me. So.
That's good. Thank you so much. So after we had such a great conversation, I'm both grateful and honored to have learned so many things that I didn't know before. As we close out today, I want to say a special thank you to our premium podcast members. Your monthly support is what makes this work possible. And thank you for your kindness and support for the last few years, particularly the last few months as I've been kind of in and out of this, as I've been recovering from my thing that's been going on. So I want to close. So saying that, JD, how can we best support your work, and where can people find you for more really interesting stuff that you do?
Best places. I mean, you can always hit me up on Twitter if you want to contact me, twitter.com/JD Rucker. I have open DMs, so you can send me a message anytime. If you want to find my work, probably discern.tv or discernreport.com has the bulk of it. I have my Substack. I have everything else, but those two are the places that we're really trying to focus on. So discern.tv and discernreport.com.
Very good. Very good. And with that, I want to close out today with one of my favorite verses from the Bible that I close all my broadcasts with, whether they're pre-recorded or live, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again on the next broadcast, stay strong, stay in prayer, lean into God. He will never let you down. Thank you to everyone who's listening to this. Have a great week. Goodbye, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com, and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.